Alrighty, thank you so much, Mark, and a huge thanks to all of our digital breakout leaders. They've done an incredible job bringing us insights and answering questions throughout the event. Next up, I'm thrilled to be joined by Kevin Gallo, Corporate Vice President of the Developer Platform. He's here to answer questions on the stream. Kevin, are you there, my friend? How you doing, buddy?
Good. How about you?
You know, it wouldn't be a build if we didn't just like have a chat, you know, and they've given me like all sorts of time that maybe they don't even want to give me to talk to you. Let's start by, why don't you introduce yourself, tell everyone who you are and what you do.
I'm Kevin Gallo. I'm responsible for the developer platform. I focus mainly on Windows, but making sure that developers can not just build Windows apps, can build all sorts of applications on Windows, really making life easier for developers.
Fantastic. So first of all, I have a whole stack full of questions for you, but these aren't the important ones. The ones from you, dear viewer, are important, so make sure you get your questions in. They will put them here right below, and I will read those. Before I read mine, let's start with the first. For me, Project Reunion, what's it all about? Tell us a little bit about that.
So Project Reunion really is a culmination of many years of learning from talking to our customers, talking to our developers. And it's really about making sure that developers can build applications that reach all Windows users. There's about a billion of them out there, a billion devices and more users than that. And we really want to make sure that developers, when they build the applications, can reach there. We also want to make sure that they can use all of the best APIs easily on the latest versions and take advantage of those immediately. So we've been decoupling a lot of our libraries, and we continue to do that. So developers, literally, when we release the API, they'll work across all Windows devices. They can use them from their existing apps, whether it's Win32 or UWP. And they really get a great experience. And best of all, a lot of it's going to be done in open source. We really want to make sure that not only are we doing the work, but we're partnering together to build the platform right.
So you mentioned, talk to me like I'm a programmer, like pretend I am for a second, because I do program every once in a while. What does it actually mean for a programmer, this Project Reunion, Win32, UWP, what does it mean?
So the way that we've done it, and I showed this in my demo yesterday, which was we built things as a bunch of libraries. Rather than it being a monolithic SDK and you have to worry about the version of the OS, we allow you to link those libraries in and use the APIs. On the latest version of Windows, it'll directly call into the feature on Windows, and where we need to go down level and maybe, you know, degrade it or give you some fallback experience, we'll do what we call polyfill and make sure that the behavior works as best as possible down level. So you can take advantage of it, just drop in some NuGet packages. The APIs are the same, so we're not trying to reinvent the API set. We're trying to, in essence, give you those APIs in a broader, more easily consumable way as a set of libraries.
So let me understand this right, because when I hear Win32, and then I think of like all the amazing devices that we have for Windows, that some of them maybe run on ARM, how does this all work together?
So the goal there is, again, back to making it one uniform ecosystem. So when you use a Project Reunion component, you can build it for ARM, you can build it for Intel, both of them will work. Now, there's a journey to get there. Not everything works exactly today, but our commitment is to make sure that you can reach the full ecosystem. It also means you can build experiences for touch, pen, mouse, keyboard, game controller. You can also, you know, make sure that it adjusts to various different sizes of screen, orientation, multi-mon. So there's a lot of flavors of Windows out there, a lot of great variety in the ecosystem. And we're trying to make it easy for developers to reach that variety with the least investment they have to make sure it's great.
So, and I'm dense, and you know this better than anyone, Kevin. So, like, let's just say, like, old school WinForms dev person. Like Project mm-hmm. Reunion is for them too. Is that right?
It is. You know, all of the features that you want to call, like the latest features, they'll be available to you. You can drop in the library. We made available some UI libraries. So sometimes when you get into UI, these allow you to mix and match new UI tech. But we'll be adding non-UI libraries as too, like, for example, MSIX, which is incredible high deployment success rates. Makes it easy, adds a containerization, has benefits when running from the cloud. All of that will come as well to Project Reunion. So for a WinForms developer who wants, you know, literally, I don't want to change the app. I just want to improve my deployment numbers. I want auto-update it. I don't want to have an updater. Those features will come as well to Project Reunion.
I see. So basically, if you're, I'm just going to go with the WinForms person building an application, and she loves it and it's great. You basically bring in a couple of things from Project Reunion, and now you're targeting the UWP space. Is that right?
You can, in essence, they start to blend away. They're really just Windows apps. This fact that we had the two types, and you know, I'm trying to get more of, hey, there's just a feature and I want to use it, you know, and I can get access to the latest features and name it by feature. So if you do want better deployment, you can use it from WinForms. If you want to replace one page in your WinForms app, you can do that as well. You don't have to replace the whole UI. Everything is sort of more incremental. Now, there's a lot of value we added in UWP, but you had to rewrite to get there. And we think a lot of developers will consume that in chunks because you don't want to do it all in one phase. You do it incrementally. You know, there's better containerization, which gives you more reliability. There's better UX, but not all of those. I mean, the example I gave is I wanted the UI, but I didn't really want to change my business logic. I like how it worked. And so I updated the UI. Next time, maybe I'll update the business logic. Each of those can be done in steps at the right discretion of the developer. And whatever they build can still reach the 1 billion. You don't have to worry about doing the work to say, okay, it's a new feature. Which version does it work on? What's my fallback? It just slows down adoption. Use the feature, and we'll make sure it works everywhere.
So we saw something, I don't know if it was a year ago or 2 years ago at Build, where we were able to take UWP apps and embed like Win32, XAML Islands. Is that what it was called? Something like that. This is the reverse of that then?
It's actually, I would say, the next iteration of it.
Got it.
The way we did that is we allowed you to host the island in Win32, but you still were kind of living in both worlds. UWP one still felt like a UWP UI, and the Win32 one still felt like Win32 UI. And the developers left having to stitch that together. Now the code literally runs in the environment. So if it's running in Win32, it's running just like Win32. There's no extra UWPism in it. And if you're in UWP and you want to call Win32 API, you can just call it. You know. And over time, underneath the OS, the differences will just disappear. As we lift things out, they will really just be available to any language. You know, any kind of program model you want to pick. If you want JavaScript, you can use React Native. If you want C++, you can call the capabilities from C++. You can kind of mix and match. And really the epiphany for us was being able to lift these components out of being in the OS to really just being libraries. And now that they're libraries, they can just be linked directly into the application and called through to the OS in a seamless way. So it's really that lifting that has allowed us to not require it to be either UWP or Win32. It's just a library with the same APIs lifted out of the OS so we can polyfill it down level as well. So we got like five things out of one innovation.
And so now that people are watching, do they choose Win32 or UWP? Do we have guidance or is it whatever makes you happy, dearest dev?
You know, it's interesting. I get asked this of, well, I like, you know, your flexibility, your inclusiveness, but what should I do? Right now, I'd say we're trying to release the libraries that we think have the greatest value. And most people are evolving from a code base. But if you're going to start clean, I don't know if it matters if UWP or Win32. I personally start typically with UWP unless I need deep integration. I like the container. It keeps my app safer. It keeps me from really doing what the user doesn't want me to do by accident. Or if I, you know, God forbid, I kind of get malware or something like that. I'm in a container that adds higher reliability. But you know, it varies. If I want huge amounts of OS integration or system utility, I'd start from Win32. And so it kind of depends on what you're building, you know, what feature you need. And now it's just on a feature by feature basis. Over time, those decisions will just go away. You're like, well, hey, do I need a strong containment or I want a system utility? And I can just go pick and choose that feature without even talking about UWP or Win32.
All right.
It's just a feature.
Get your questions in because I want to make sure everyone has their own because, like I said, I have a whole bunch still left over. But get your questions in. They'll put them in front of me. They're super important to us. For sure, Kevin wants to hear what your questions are.
Absolutely.
You mentioned a little bit about security. UWP has a very special sandbox in which things can run where Win32 does not. What about security with those kinds of applications?
By default, a UWP application will turn on an app container. Over time, we've added the ability to turn off or say open up very specific holes in the container to do things like share contracts. And typically, we have something we call a broker. You know, we never really want the app to talk directly to the hardware because then we can't broker. For example, privacy. If you talk directly to the camera, well, all of a sudden, the user wants to say, hey, don't let the camera be used at all. We don't want to make the app crash by taking the camera away. So we introduced brokers. And that model works very well. It's very similar to what happens on phones and in other sandbox environments. At the same time, for Win32, in the history, it was not contained. They would talk directly to the drivers without that broker. We introduced a container we called the Centennial Container. We had a couple names for it, but that was the Centennial Container. That is still available. If you use MSIX with a Win32 application, by default, you will get a container. And that container has many of those same valuable properties. The interesting piece is once you want to run up in the clouds, we talked about WVD, that cloud or that container is super important for getting density in VMs because you want to be able to migrate it and move it between VMs, and you don't ever want it talking directly to the hardware. You want it brokered. That way you can move the workload back and forth. So the containment has value on the local client, has value in the cloud. It's just giving the user control of how much or how porous they want that container to be based on the type of application. If you're mostly a cloud application projected to the client, you want a pretty strong container. You don't really want to have impact on the operating system. If you're a system utility, you kind of want to be able to talk to the hardware if you really talk peripherals. So we want to balance that and give the developer the choice, and they can make that trade-off.
So basically, the security model is you can subscribe to this container with MSIX and then ask for the things that you want, and that way you know that MSIX will protect the boundary except for those places where you ask for permission.
Exactly, and you only ask for what you need. And we also want to make sure, especially from our store, that we make it clear to users what permissions they're giving to the applications when they are used. And so that's something important for us as well. Making sure the user also knows, not just the developer. So we try to make that a two-way street, basically compromising between the power, but the, I'll say disclosure or knowledge of what an app can actually go do on their system.
All right, let's get to some questions. Tony, when will the Win UI Designer be available in Visual Studio? That's to you, Kevin.
So we're looking at that right now. One of the things we're thinking very deeply about is how do developers really develop UI now and build UI? Most of them are more fast turn UI. They want a live preview of it. So we're debating the exact thought of what does a designer mean in the modern era when you have lots of animations, you need touch, you want to feel the fluidity of it. And so just looking at the pixels in the designer doesn't really solve for the experience. And it's really the experience that we want to go optimize for. So that's something that we're thinking heavily about. We don't have a date of it, but something we want to engage with the community and then build a modern visualizer or experience builder that we can go make that really works with the animations and the expectation of fluidity that we have today.
Fantastic. Next question. With Project Reunion, where does UWP fit in? You kind of answered this a little bit, but can you give us a sentence for Yair?
It's a first-class citizen. Like the idea being that if you want high containment and if you want to start, you already have a project in UWP, you'll be able to just use the APIs the same way. You'll get access to more of the Win32 APIs as we lift them out of the OS. And so you'll get the same benefits if you're UWP or if you're Win32. You know, by the time we're kind of done lifting it, the two really will sort of disappear. And it's just a choice of features. I'll just say I hate being asked that question because every developer will say, well, I want these three and these two from each. You know, I want the combined power and the pick that makes sense. And that's sort of what we're doing. No one will be left behind. If you liked the defaults that a UWP picked, you can continue to get those defaults. If you like the defaults of Win32 app, you can. If you want somewhere in between, you have that option as well.
Love it. Next question from Martin. Will there be an in-between permission and security system between UWP and Win32 full trust for Win UI desktop apps? You answered that a little bit.
Yeah, you can build a full system utility that formats the hard drive. Like, there are some great utilities. I've used them before when I replace my SSD or I want to clone one SSD to another. You know, these are great system utilities that really Windows gives you and no one else does. And I want you to be able to build those and have beautiful UI and make sure it works with touch, and pen and whatever experience you want to go build. So yes, you'll be able to build a full system utility with WinUI.
Another comment by my friend Alex, a modern visualizer would be so with lots of, oh, cool, Kevin. Just a little for you on that one. So a quick question, are people using this already?
Yes, I mean, part of it, it's an evolution. You know, I think I got quoted somewhere as I sort of leaked it last year and it's on purpose. This has sort of been something we've been working on doing and trying to find the right way. And WinUI was sort of our first venture in doing it. WebView, as we moved to the Chromium code base, became more obvious that we should do WebView 2 the same way. We've been moving MSIX in the same direction. And so, you know, it's something that we've just been incubating, and now we feel like, hey, this is an overall strategy. And so here are some components that you can already use: WinUI, WebView 2, MSIX. Like I said, we are in the process of part of it is decoupled, not completely. These are available today, and you can get going with those. And we'll continue to do more. It's sort of one of these pieces that we're talking to the community about: what's the order, what's the highest priority, and which one should we do next?
Fantastic. Brandon has a question. Any idea where React for Windows fits in with this discussion?
So I'm going to assume React Native for Windows.
Yeah,
React Native is literally part of the solution. That is, you know, in many ways, we've always wanted our native UI library to be accessible from JavaScript. It's something that was kind of a gap in UWP because we just never really had what I would call a first-class model for JavaScript access. When we saw React Native, several internal groups, you know, kicked around the tires on it and liked it. And so we really like that if you are a JavaScript developer, you can use React Native for Windows and you will get the best UI experience. It works great. So if you're a JavaScript developer and you want great UX that works on Windows and full access to our control library, React Native is a great solution for you.
Awesome. Gaurav, do we have any documentation details or where can we get the details for Project Reunion?
So if you go to aka.ms/Project Reunion, that'll take you to our GitHub repo. And that's where we're going to do all of our communication. Sure, there's some blogs, some press. You can read a bunch of things out there. But we want to really start the dialogue on our repo and just kind of learn with the community. You won't find WinUI and WebView 2 there. I've been asked that. Why are WinUI and WebView not there? They already had repos, and it just felt disruptive to move them just because that way we can put them there. We're open to moving them if that's what the community wants, or leaving them where they are and just referencing them. But you can go there to kind of learn. And then if you want to go use WinUI 3 or WebView 2, they have repos as well. You can get linked off of there.
So this is a good question from Tom. Like, it's kind of like a Tom, if Tom were here, like it would be me and him, the same question. So is it all just Windows apps now instead of us saying Win32 or UWP?
It really is. I've been trying to push that story and explain that. And I think finally now the truth of, hey, this is how we get there. This is pragmatically, practically how we will go and make that true. And it's been a journey that I've just wanted to take our journey. And, you know, and when we said Windows apps, I also think they all said, well, I still can't target the world. I can't target all of Windows. Well, now you can. So it's really about building one Windows app that can reach all of our endpoints and give you that broad audience. I mean, that's a great market for developers to go reach. And I feel like it's been time for us to do some of that heavy lifting and make sure it's as easy as possible for developers to reach reach the customer base they want.
All right, friends, keep the questions coming. There's some questions coming in about WinUI. Why don't you tell us what WinUI is and then talk a little bit about WinUI 3.
So WinUI is a UI library that we've been building. It's on its third version. We started this way back in Windows 8, and we've been evolving this. And about a year and a half ago, I think it was, I can't remember the exact time, we announced we're going to open source and lift it out of the OS. And this is, it allows you to build adaptive UX, so you can easily scale to the right size. It supports first-class pen, touch, mouse, keyboard. You know, we had dense UI, so if you really want that denser UI you're used to on the desktop, you can. If you want something a little bit more, you know, touch-friendly, you can actually make larger UI. It will also compromise between the two. So it really gets you game controller. It's actually the UI that runs on the Xbox console. And so it's a rich UI framework that allows you to really build for the breadth of Windows. So when you build and use it, you can target all 1 billion devices, regardless of what form factor. If it's a Surface, it'll work great. You know, if it's a desktop with a mouse, keyboard, and three monitors, and you want to be able to use multiple Windows, it'll work great there as well. So it kind of will hopefully scale between those ends of the spectrum, and it'll work great on ARM. So on ARM devices, we'll make sure it works as well.
Awesome.
So it's really than you build on UX.
Awesome. Let's talk about Acrylic, because we're talking about UX. Tell us about Acrylic and what it means in WinUI 3.
So acrylic is something we introduced as part of Fluent, and we love Fluent. I mean, it's a beautiful design language, and it really lets you build beautiful things easily. We really want developers to just, by default, when we use WinUI, their apps are beautiful, customers love them, they want to use them. Acrylic is one of those features. As we have lifted it out of the OS, one of the challenges we had was just in literally making the technology work. And so we are working hard on getting acrylic back in. Right now, you look at the preview, it will not be there, but it's something we're committed to, and we're going to find the right solution to get high-performance acrylic. It's a very special way the desktop works. And so as we decoupled it, we had to do some extra work that we prioritized maybe getting the controls built versus getting acrylic. We had to make some trade-offs in the speed of getting the code out to the community. So we're working hard on acrylic. We love it.
Let's talk about WinUI 3. Does it work on .NET, ARM, et al? What does it work on?
Yeah, it'll work from C++. It's actually built in C++. And that gives us this lighter weight, flexible framework that we can use now. So we can expose it to C++ developers. .NET user developers can use it as well. So .NET 5 will support it. React Native for Windows targets that in its renders. It renders, so it gets what you'd expect from React Native, which is a touch-based UI. It tends to share with touch-based devices and tablets and those things. So a lot of people use them. So you can build a desktop app from it as well. And so you can get your language of choice, has a rich control set that you can go use, and it's fully in the open source. So developers can go modify, add contributions, request changes, and then once we release them, they're available to you for you to use either, you know, in your applications side by side. You can customize it, fork it, you know, all the things you can go do with UI. And we know developers just continue to want to keep playing with UI. I know several companies that have actually taken the controls and leveraged them in their own environment to produce their own toolkits. And we're happy to do that as well.
Where can people go get it? Because you mentioned it's on GitHub. Where can people get that?
It's Microsoft, I think, Microsoft/WinUI. I'm sure there's always a little extra in there. But if you go there and search for Microsoft WinUI, then you'll find it.
All right, let's shift gears. Again, keep your questions coming. We talked briefly about MSIX for packaging your applications for Windows. Tell us a little bit more about that and why people should start using that.
So MSIX has incredible reliability rate. If you use other installers, they've had some, you know, challenges being, in essence, getting their reliability up as high, mainly because they don't use a container. The beauty of the container is it isolates what goes into the registry. It makes sure there's no corruption there, saves it all locally, and then deletes it when the app goes away. So when the app is uninstalled, literally there's nothing left. So that is one of these beauties of MSIX and why we work with all the major install vendors to make sure they can produce not just MSIs, but also MSIXs that have these much higher reliability rates. It provides a container model, not just for registry writes, but also for your file system writes. So you can, in essence, contain where you write on the disk, reducing, again, your footprint for the user to really contain it and make sure you have that high reliability. It also auto-updates. So not only do you get that benefit if you come from our store, you can also get that benefit if it comes from your own distribution point. We're making sure that it'll update there. And you don't have to run a background updater. Nobody wants five things prompting and saying, hey, update me. We'll do it for you. So if you use MSIX, we'll keep the app updated. And then the end user doesn't have to worry about their apps getting stale. So there's a bunch of little benefits there that this new install technology gives us. One other addition is if you use WVD, we're adding a feature called MSIX App Attach. And because we know exactly how your app installs, it's basically a declarative model, we can much more quickly instantiate the applications. They can share storage. There's a bunch of benefits we can get when you're on using WVD that we don't get when you're a standard installer.
So I haven't heard the term WVD yet. What is that?
So Windows Virtual Desktop is a service that we announced and released last September. It allows you to stream from the cloud. You basically run your app in the cloud or a full desktop in the cloud, and you can stream that to any of your workers. And this has really been a huge advance and a problem solver as remote work and remote learning has become, you know, much, much more needed right now in the environment that we're in. And so it is a service that runs that when you remote an app or the full desktop, you get an, you know, basically you can now get behind the firewall, keep your app still protected while your workers can be remote at home, share a device, whether they're doing shared work with their home or entertainment, We all know that PCs are going to be a multi-purpose device, and this gives you a way to securely go allow your workforce to be remote and outside the firewall, even when you hadn't planned for it.
So we have about 5 minutes left, so everyone keep your questions coming. We want to hear from you. Let's change gears one more time, if that's okay. WSL2 and GPUs, that's pretty cool. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so one of the top feature requests is, again, why I love working with the community. One of the top requests has been the ability to use, PCs have a huge amount of GPU variety, and there's tons of them out there, and they're super powerful. And developers say, I want to use that. I want to harness the power of those GPUs, especially when I'm doing machine learning and AI workloads. So we already have a WinML that has a compute engine on top of the GPUs. So we're now exposing that compute on top of the GPUs to Linux developers. So when you write a Linux app, you don't only have to install a driver that specially talks to the graphics card, but it works directly on top of all the GPUs, and you can get that compute power that you want with your Linux workloads. So it's a super easy and powerful. It gives you, in essence, a capability you just never had with the variety of hardware that we have on Windows.
That's amazing. Now some rapid fire from the audience. What about HoloLens, Xbox, et cetera? Well, Windows apps work there too, because as far as I know, HoloLens doesn't support Win32 apps.
So we're looking at that right now at Project Reunion. I don't really have, I have nothing to announce yet, but it's something that we've heard very clearly that developers want to make sure. And so it's less about running full Win32 applications there, and it's more about, hey, can I continue to share code and have one environment with HoloLens? And we're looking at that.
All right, from Jeremy, when Project Reunion is ready, will we start to see Microsoft deploying ARM64 by default for any new apps, updated apps that the teams typically start out solely targeting x86, x64, example being some of the Surface apps lacking ARM64 versions?
Yeah, I mean, you'll see Microsoft produce, for sure, we'll be producing Intel and ARM binaries over time in the same way that we expect. Hopefully, the third parties will as well. In our store, we would like everyone to make sure that they produce both an ARM and an Intel binary for those. So it is something that we are definitely thinking that we will do, but we want our ecosystem to equally make sure, just like developers started producing from x86, they went to x64 producing both. And many of them now just move x64, but you know, we would ask the, you know, developers produce both, and we're trying to make that as easy as possible to go do.
All right, from Tamash, what about cross-platform apps? Will we be able to use WinUI 3 and Xamarin or MAUI? I've never heard of MAUI, but MAUI, I don't know what that is.
You know, obviously, cross-platform is important. It's something we're looking at among our teams. And so it's definitely something that's on our roadmap. And so I don't have anything to announce yet, but we hear it. And one of the things we just want to do is hear from our developers about what they're interested in and what exactly the scenarios are. But we understand clearly that developers want to share code. That's something that just makes developers more efficient. And we're interested in helping developers solve that problem.
Fantastic. One more question from the audience, and then I have two more rapid fire. We have about 90 seconds. With WSL2, will we be able to develop and run Android apps in containers on Windows 10?
It doesn't really, and that just Android and WSL are really not the same thing. So it's really about being able to run Linux applications. We're going to give you support for GUI, which is another great feature that we're adding. You get, you know, basically GUI applications running from Linux. As far as running Android apps, again, it's something developers have talked about. There are other third parties that do run it, but we have nothing to announce at this point.
All right, 60
but keep
seconds.
Giving us feedback on what you're interested in.
Awesome. 60 seconds. Talk about Power Toys, number one. Number two, talk about the Windows Package Manager.
I love Power Toys. You know, I mean, I hadn't used it initially, you know, and I dabbled in it, even though my team built it. I was like, okay, I'll start using it. I love it. Fancy Zones, you know, and now the, you know, Power Toys Run feature. I'm just loving it. And, you know, it's interesting. Is inside of Microsoft, I think we had gotten a little scared about making shell changes. But, you know, just because every time you do it, somebody gets upset. You know, you change, you move Pixel around. But the way we've seen Power Toys adopted, we're getting very excited that we can really make innovations. And the Package Manager, man, that thing's awesome. I love being able to use a command line to install it. I love the fact that our community is helping us build this great catalog. It just feels like the right technology at the right time. And I'm just excited to see us continue to build that great catalog, make it easy as ever to set up your environment, which, of course, I know you complained about yesterday about being able to set up your Windows environment. Package Manager, that's the answer to it.
Love it.
We're trying to fix it.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Always great to hear from you. Now to someone else we love hearing from, and that is Christina Warren.